When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Chase.
And I'm Timothy.
And this is Customer Service. Brondino.
That's a good one.
Fucking shit, man. Wait, I was just telling Michan the other night, like, we're at that point now. We always talk about him. We're so busy. I feel like I am drowning here. I have not gotten on top of my work in weeks, it feels like.
Yeah.
I'm not drowning in like a dramatic way. It's just like you could give me the rest of the week with no interruptions and I still would have work to do, I think.
I mean, part of it's just us growing, which I think is obviously a good thing.
Absolutely.
Part of us is us being nonstop understaffed, basically.
Yeah.
A little bit by design, but you know.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't think everyone that listens understands that, like, it's what? 10 people, maybe?
1, 2, 3.
We'll litigate this live now. It's
8, 9, 10.
Yeah, it's not, let's just, let's say it's 10. And it's, you know what I mean? Like, and we have a store and a warehouse and a creative team and a marketing team. And
not everybody works at all days.
Yeah. And you get, people have to have days off. And it is like, it is really hard to like, because everybody does everything still. You know what I mean? Like, we all still do a little bit of all of it. You know what I mean? So you see us do the pod. I edit the pod. All the music in the pod is me.
Yep.
Chase obviously does the podcast too. He does any of the like scheduling between inbound and outbound packages are him.
I mean, I could tell you right now, everything that I need to import, Lemaire, some Howlin, some Capital.
Frismworks.
Mm-hmm. Shortly after that will be a new brand for us.
It's just, and well, and then we need to receive a bunch of stuff that's here.
I have so much shit to receive.
And, when Lady White comes in, that's like fucking 30 boxes of stuff.
I think it was 22 or 24 boxes.
We're
talking like well over 1,000 units of things.
And obviously there's people that are doing way more than us, but you know what I mean? But at the same time, like, I bet they're doing it with three times people. It's just a lot sometimes, you know what I mean? And it's like all of it's a lot. Like the creative is only done by two people, you know what I mean? And that includes all of the updating the website, changing out the pictures, editing all the pictures, you know. Abby writes a lot of the copy with
editing, publish.
I write all the other copy, and I've written it since we started. I've written thousands and tens of thousands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe we're probably into the hundreds of thousands after 7 years.
Individual SKUs and shit, yeah.
Yeah, of writing copy for those things. And then you know, the one guy I'll email and be like, this was wrong. And I'm like, thank you. I have a 1% miss rate then, dickhead. So it's like, it's everyone's doing 100 things. You know what I mean? So It's been a couple weeks. No, it's been a year of that so far. So it's we always dig our way out. And the thing is, I still like being really busy over like twiddling our thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
That also sucks in a different way. So, you know, it's whatever. But it has been a frustrating start to the year of just trying to like, I don't know, we've just been busy, which is like, again, you know.
It's dope.
Look, we're not complaining. I understand that there's a lot of businesses out there that are not having the same go of it as we are, at least right now. So, you know, we are very blessed in that way. But at the same time, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, in the middle of this, we're like, oh, fuck, we got to carve out an hour for the podcast. And we like doing the podcast, but it's like, I just don't have
it's
like,
an
every,
hour.
Every minute is accounted for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, other than that, how are you?
Good, bro. Good, bro. We got party coming up this last weekend, this coming weekend. The last weekend we did warehouse sale.
If you're listening and haven't RSVP'd to the party, you should definitely do that. It should be on our Instagram. And if you don't know Chris,
get in touch with
somehow,
Chris,
and you're here, that would be shocking. But but you can find him and get one.
Yeah.
But you definitely, just to say it here too, you have to be RSVP'd. We can't, you know, we can't hold everyone that wants to come. So you got to be RSVP'd to do that now before it fills up, because it is filling up very quickly.
And if we didn't do it that way, a bunch of old perverts from the street would be coming in, eating our food, taking up the space. What do we got going on in here?
A Mission Impossible through the roof somehow.
Insane. Yeah. An old blue hair.
But that should be fun. We've got a new like burger concept that's doing like doing a thing for us. So you get like these, it's a really cool system. I don't know everything about it because it's not really out yet, but it's a cool like organic way of doing, you know,
it's some sort of, yeah.
It's pretty cool. We've got Finkel and Garf beer and then cocktails done by Big Brian Dayton.
Yes, sir.
And
Topo Chico will be there with sparkling waters.
Dry storage will be here with, yep. We got a DJ, I forget what his name is, so sorry, but they're known around town. He's going to do sort of like a Chicago house set, which will be fun.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good time, you know what I mean? And we'll be there, being kicking the life of the party like we always are.
Yeah.
Jason and I are not necessarily 24-hour party people, but...
No.
Once we're in the mix, it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine once you get me going, but it's not what I organically reach for in my time not at work.
We're fun at a party of like when there's like six
people. I was going to say six, five.
6 to 8 maybe.
Yeah.
At a dinner.
Yeah. A party obviously has to have deviled eggs too. So that's where I shine.
Yeah. A party where deviled eggs. So basically in a Midwest basement.
We're back to the egg talk. Boom. One, two, boom.
Doesn't take long. What else is going on? Oh, we had the warehouse sale last week. That was fun. Anyone that showed up, thank you
for coming out.
It's always fun to do the in-person ones to get the little line going.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Boulder and you've never come, what the hell are you doing? Because we do crazy deals and it's fun and just coffee and you get to stand in line with a bunch of cool people and then
You get to wear your little outfits. Stuff.
It's a good time. What else? I feel like there's been a lot going on.
You know, buddy, I wanted to talk to you about something on the pod. You recommended that I watch Perfect Days.
Mm-hmm.
The day that you recommended it, Michan was also like, hey, I just watched this trailer. We should watch this. Dean streamed it to the Discord the other night, and it has stuck with me, dude. It has stuck with me.
Yeah, and I here's the thing. I knew you liked, because we talk about it. You create random rules for yourself that you are unbreakable on, but then you'll randomly have... an extreme outlier. This is a little bit going back to the Mad Max thing. Where it's like, I hate adult Halloween, but I love Mad Max. It's like, those rules don't add up to me. And then you kind of notoriously don't like feely movies. Now, but Paris, Texas maybe isn't. It's still feely, but...
Paris, Texas is definitely
What do you
feely.
Mean? Define feely when you say that. Is it like romantic? Is that the issue? Is it like it's a love story?
Kind of, but like for instance,
what are you doing?
There's
Mr.
a spoiler
Masculine,
incoming for the show, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So skip ahead 20 seconds. Like how you know the whole show happens, and then in the end they like each other again, and then you don't know how it really ends. I don't like.
Well, that didn't spoil anything. It's the most vague thing. You've
Yeah, but I don't. I guess I just don't like heartbreak movies or shows.
Why is that? It's because you're so masculine.
That's not it. I'm not.
I know that.
that's definitely not it. No, I don't know, man. Because Michelle has this conversation.
Well, can you
with me
give,
all the
give
time.
Me give me an example of one where you're like, I just don't like that. Because I feel like we're not watching the same type.
I wouldn't watch. This is another thing. But I would never watch. What's the Will Smith movie? The post apocalyptic one. Wait, where he has
I
to
am
kill
legend.
The dog? Yeah,
this
I would
is
never
what
watch
you think
that
is a romantic movie.
No, I'm saying there's just like the strong emotional thing is
well,
not
why,
what
why
I look to media
you,
for.
But how do you know what it's about? How have you decided?
You know, that's
here we go.
That's where the issue lies.
Well, listen, here's a spoiler for I Am Legend. Again, if you have a problem with spoilers in general, I don't think you actually like movies because you could spoil Dune. It's like, what Dune 2? You're going to spoil it? Who gives a shit? If you're going to the movie to see a twist, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's insane. And also, I'm not going to watch it now that I know the twist. It's like, well, then you don't like movies. I Am Legend thing is where nobody likes when he kills his dog.
Yeah, that's
movie.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
obviously. I don't want to watch. I'll agree. I'll be with you on this one. I don't want to watch any movies about dogs.
Yeah.
Or anything happening to dogs or cats because you can. I'll watch John Wick slay bodies on bodies on bodies on bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Without explanation.
Yeah.
Don't care. Probably did something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Dogs and cats don't do anything wrong.
No.
no animal does anything wrong, in my opinion. I don't even like when they go to, like, if that bear is hunting Leo DiCaprio in Revenant, don't kill that bear. You came to its location. Yeah. It is allowed to kill you because you fucked around.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't go into other people's... Oh, we've done this before, but I don't go into other people's homes and expect that a welcome... Like, they got to take care of me. That's crazy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No, I agree. I completely agree.
And if you go into their area, and it, like, if I go into somebody's home invasion style, and I creepy crawl that thing, Charlie Manson style, or I hurt someone, I go to prison forever, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So that should be the same thing in nature. You go to their little area. If I go hiking and a mountain lion gets me, never happened. I've already talked about this. But let's just say it gets me. That's on me. Yeah, that's on me. Yeah. I shouldn't have been there.
No,
I
agree
should
with
let
that.
It happen.
I agree with that. I'm all for the killer whales capsizing boats in a synchronized way. I think that's really cool. But no, I feel you. But no, I don't want the heartbreak movies. For instance, you know the movie Blue Valentine?
Sure, that's a hard one for a lot of people.
There's no chance I would watch that again.
I still think that's a light work, but I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is definitely. Yeah. That's also a really dour film. Like, I think that there's a big difference between a movie that's sort of like The Death of Hope, which is a little bit of that, or like more of like a realist version, versus... You know, all the different complexities that people use in film of that nature. Yeah. So, and I think that, like, a love movie could be a lot of different types of things. That could be a friendship. It could be, I mean, there's a million types of that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think here's what I'd hope that Perfect Days does for you. Let's open up your eyes that occasionally we're going to throw in some sort of independent film that puts you a little less. You know what? Here, I still have to do this. I did not want to see the movie Poor Things. I do not like Tim Burton. No, no, no.
Is it a Tim Burton movie?
No, but it looks like it.
Okay.
It's a, I always forget it, Lagmos or whatever. I don't know. I can't pronounce his name. But I don't like that look. That's fucking like steampunky, weird, like very surrealist thing. It's
vibrant
just,
colors
it's
kind
not
of thing.
A thing. I'm an Eric Romare guy. I like a nice, soft, filmy palette. Very easy to... I don't like that extreme visual type of thing. That's just my personal taste. That being said, I love the Oscars. Mm-hmm. And
I want to touch on that.
Okay. I wanted to... It was not a film I wanted to see. It was like I was really putting it off. You know what I mean? And I've seen everything else. And it was just, that was the one I'm like, I just don't think I'm going to.
Did you watch it?
Well, yeah, I sat down and was like, I got to stop doing this. You know what I mean? I can't just decide that I know how the movie is without having seen it. So I watched it. I figure I do this a lot in my head where I'll go, I'm going to watch 15 minutes. If I just really am not, it's not connecting with me, forget it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But also, there's been plenty of movies that I've started in Yee Yee, maybe my new all-time favorite movie. First 15 minutes, I'm like, I'm struggling with this a little bit. And then I found the rhythm. You know what I mean? So I think that you just have to kind of like be like, I can exit this whenever I want to.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? It's the brilliance of like shows on TBS. Do you know what I mean? Like why movies on there are good, because you'd be like, oh, if it hit the commercial break and if I don't care, I'll just change the channel.
Yeah.
I kind of like do that in my head of like, I gotta stop being like scared or like I need to be mentally prepared for this. You know what I mean? So I just jump right in. So I watched it. I still don't aesthetically love it. I think obviously I don't know how to do any of that shit, and it's very like much its own lane and for some reason works. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It does work. And, I'm going to say that I don't think it's my favorite performances, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with – this is why film is so subjective, because you look at, like, the performances in Perfect Days, which are extremely subtle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you take, like – I like a movie like After Sun, which is all in these tiny little moments, and it means – and you have to convey so much with so little.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's – to me, that's – I'm more interested in that. The other side of things is big to the back of the room performances, and I don't tend to like those personally.
Okay.
So it's tough. This movie is tough for me on every angle.
Yeah.
It's never going to be my favorite movie, but the storytelling and the characters and everything are brilliant. Really smart. Really liked the movie overall. Was it my favorite of the year of at least the nominations or whatever? No, still not for me personally, but it is, but I do understand that it's a different thing. And I'm glad that I digested it because it gives me context for a lot of things. You know what I mean? And it's just how you develop taste. Like, I like you know, very extreme versions of metal and punk music. And I also like very, like, I mean, you the same way, you like sad guy shit. And I also like hyper pop and all of, you know what I mean? It just takes, but the only way you find the good stuff is by weeding things out.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? So, like, you know, even when I used to like horror movies and things, there's a lot of junk when it comes to like body horror and like, you know, a lot of the weird, more like psychological, like the, you know, Korean and Japanese stuff. But there's a lot of junk in there because you can make movies like that for cheap and still, you know, it's like the easiest way to make money in movies is horror movies, I think. Once you start learning, though, like, oh, I need a little bit of that context so I can really appreciate something great. Or, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it does that for me. So that's why I think it's important to open yourself up to things that,
I definitely think it's one of those hard rules that I made for myself that I'm organically growing out of, having seen Perfect Days.
We got to think of what's next for you, though.
Yeah, I'm down because I do. Michelle and I, we obviously watch a lot of shows, but we're like getting into the movies. We watched four or five movies over the weekend. But I really loved Perfect Days. That one stuck with me. And so I do want to use that as a jumping off point to grow from that.
The reason I thought it would be because you're one of your outliers is A Paris, Texas, which is not normally in your palette of movies. You know what I mean? And that's the same director. And I was like, okay, so same director. He liked Paris, Texas. That's an outlier. This movie is basically about rules. You know what I mean? And repetition.
Loved
and
it, yeah.
Simple you see how living, and that's very much things that you're interested in. So I knew that this one would hit. Now, I wouldn't call this a feely movie by any means, although there's moments for sure.
Yeah, there's moments.
But I mean, yeah, it's one of my favorites that I've seen in a little while.
I get what you're doing with your pairing down your wardrobe even further.
I mean, I was already like halfway there, and this was the bump. Which it's funny because it just like landed at the perfect time too. Like I was already thinking like I'm not wearing so much stuff, or the things I do wear, I wear like once in a month. You know, because I just have too much stuff.
Agreed.
You know what I mean? So you dance around, you kind of, you know. So I'm like, I'm not even being creative anymore. I'm just like, this one's fine. You know what I mean? And I just don't care about any of it. I'm not taking really good care of it because I don't, what do I care? And it's making my closet messy all the time because there's too much stuff.
Yep.
So it's hard to get it all perfect. And I have to like rearrange it once a week, and that's not a good use of my time. And I was already on that train, and then seeing like the, you know, a very extreme version. Look, I'm not trying to have three looks, period. But, it forced me to go a step further, and it actually forced the before like maybe like 3 years ago got really into collecting cassettes, which like I know nobody wants to hear people talk about outdated media usage, but I do have like a visceral connection to like cassette tapes because what I grew up with still, and that's really what I had, and that and the radio and for a long time because I was like probably in middle school or older before CDs were like a thing, I feel like, so or like at least. Because, you know, some of those, you'd start to get like one of those boom boxes at Target or whatever, the three CDs or, you know.
Yeah.
And until that, that's what I used. There's like a visceral thing to me. Like vinyl, I never really had any connection to other than I collected it for a minute because it was cool. But, you know, there's nothing about it that I have any nostalgia towards.
No,
you know what
I
saying?
Completely agree.
And I went down a lane of doing cassette tapes and movies. I was like, oh, I'll collect these because I do, and I do think I want to eventually get a whole rig to watch, like tapes,
like VHS.
I also saw a guy that has on Instagram that like only does like outdated like movie media, like doing old laser discs and shit, and like. And I will say, when you have, it's not about the like, oh, it's like the warmth of the cassette. Like, sure, that's part of the experience and everything. It's the physical touch of all the equipment.
You're going to put it in there. You hear it. You can smell it when you're done with the VHS.
Every time I walk past the cassette player, I click the buttons.
Yeah.
So the one I had stopped working. I bought GSM cassettes Abby did for Christmas, thinking, oh, that'll be a fun way for her to like be able to choose her own things. And there's like vintage ones you can buy with like their like storytelling or whatever. And she kind of likes listening to that sort of thing when she plays. So I was like, oh, that'd be cool. So she can change it herself and all this. We can put it out by the record player and all this. But I'm like, my old speakers were broke, and the cassette player, when I got it, I tried to get it working, and I'm like, oh, it's not working. So I had to get a new one. I got a really beautiful one retail. If you get like a good one, like you like like it's a working one, and you sell it, they go for like $400 or $500.
Yeah,
I got this for $100. It is in pristine condition from some freaky dude.
This is what you picked up after warehouse sale?
Yeah, and then I went and got speakers from another lady. So I'm back in the setup. I can't find wires that are working, so I ordered like six. I ordered one, didn't work. I ordered six more last night, and then I'm just going to return whatever doesn't work.
Yeah.
But hopefully I'll get it up and running. But I was working in the headphones, and I was like, oh, but that movie pushed me to go, because I'd like been like, oh yeah, we need to get a new one of those things, and I had some saved in like Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist and shit, and things same with, but I was never doing it. I was like, oh, I'll do it eventually. I don't care. But that movie also with the cassette thing really pushed me over the edge. Like, oh shit, I gotta make that happen.
So cool, dude.
Yeah.
So cool. I told you we were in Washington like 4 or 5 years ago in an Airbnb, and all they had in the Airbnb was like an older TV and a VHS player, yeah. And we watched Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas on VHS, first time I had seen it, and I can still hear his voice, and it does sound different. There is a different quality, there's a different treatment to it. So I'm all for that, bro. And in fact, if you need help with wiring and shit, I know you know, but I would love to help. That seems like a fun.
This is more of like a plug issue than much like a
rewiring shit. Yeah.
So I think it'll be able to be resolved. But yeah, there definitely is a more human touch thing that happens with those like elements that are really.
Yeah.
I think it makes it a little bit more like of more of an experience rather than right now. It's just tick, 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 tick with the remote and obsess over like, I don't know what I want to watch. And none of it. It's gotten so poorly curated at this point. Old Apple TV, maybe like four generations ago, was near perfect because it amalgamated everything. Into three things you could look through. Now there was a lot less, you know, streaming at that point, but it was great. Then everyone pieced off into the apps, I got to open six different apps just to see what they have to ultimately go, I don't know what I'm, you know, looking for.
Here's the thing: this is how you know the world's cyclical, because now we're like, can I just pay a flat fee and have it all?
I will pay $100 a month, maybe more, if it could all be in one place and it actually curates on shit that I like. And I know that that's possible because Spotify does that wonderfully.
Mm-hmm. Spotify's great.
YouTube does it. If you're buying things off Amazon, it does it wonderfully.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're telling me Netflix doesn't have the money to make this happen? Like, or like, why can't they all just get together, bundle it all together, then show it to me in one fell swoop?
And also, all these fucking tech nerds getting paid $150,000 for an entry-level developer position. If you listen to this and you work at fucking Netflix, shame on you. Now there's fucking ads. Now we have to do fucking ads on Netflix. That was like the last saving grace. You got rid of The Office, and now you fucking make me have ads on Netflix. Horseshit. Absolute horseshit.
I don't want ads during movies, but if I'm watching a TV show, I like when Hulu has the ads in. Remember I told you I didn't get rid of them? Abby was mad at me.
Yeah, yeah, because you didn't upgrade it.
I like them. It's kind of like, it also drives her nuts that I won't skip the title sequences on shows because I like them. I'm like, no, it's setting the tone, baby. I'm getting into it.
You're down for a long...
I watch it.
Oh.
Every time.
God,
except for The Office, because nobody can turn the decibels down on that goddamn thing. So you're watching a show that's like all talking and then it's just loud as shit.
You fall asleep with The Office on, bro. You're literally leaping out of bed every time. Also, but speaking of intro music, bro, you did watch the newest season of True Detective?
Well, I told you how I watched it, but yeah, I watched it.
That they used that fucking Billie Eilish song, and they might as well let it play 10 fucking times. I had no opinion of Billie Eilish before, and now I can't stand her from that alone. It's just like, I am wholly against you. I hate title sequences that go on for 3 or 4 minutes.
I don't know that I'm a Billie Eilish guy or not, but she has some songs. But I don't love that's also like an old song. You know what I mean? It's like, why?
I don't know, it's been used before.
Yeah. So I'm not sure why everything about
Jodie Foster loved it and she requested it.
I don't. Yeah, I like the idea of Jodie Foster just getting hip to Billie Eilish.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so you liked Perfect Days.
Perfect Days. I
like
loved
the
his
idea
outfits.
Of you guys watching it together. Sorry, it was during the Oscars, and I live for the Oscars, so
well,
couldn't do it.
Well, let's get to the Oscars in a moment. But the outfits in Perfect Days are perfect. You and I are both wearing our Kyotos. I have to assume that you liked how the fellow was styling it. I need a denim shirt like that, bro.
He had those like cool.
They're like they had the little
little
gap here,
little toe peak in the front too.
Really fucking
those
cool.
They're cool though. Yeah.
Ugh. But yeah, everything in there was amazing. I love his little bonsai collection. I love seeing his routines. I like routine. That's how I'm able to do things, because I have to have rules. I have to like have it figured out. So because if there's too much, then it's too much for me. You know what I mean? And in fact, let's talk about this, because I was thinking, I was like, why do I set rules for myself? Because I get so overwhelmed otherwise. But like, I can think back like being a kid and being like, okay, I'm going to play this new video game, or I'm going to do this, and like, this is my thing. And then I don't need to think about it anymore. That's my thing. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like Green Pan thing. It's like, if I just, that's my thing, I'm comfortable in it, and I know it. I don't really need to do a whole bunch of experimentation. I don't feel any overwhelmedness in my brain. I found the thing, and that now I'm free of that burden, as silly as that seems. But I do that with everything, bro.
I'm trying to just let all of that kind of stuff go, if that makes sense. Of like that, I think that was the beginning of my fixing wardrobe situation, which was like, all right, I don't need to be a certain type of guy. I can just like what I like. I hopefully it'll make sense at the end, and if it doesn't, I don't really give a shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it's just what I like.
I'm envious of guys that are just guys.
And I think that we are in a position where we're around this stuff all the time, and we care about it.
And
it's also okay to just. That's the thing you like.
To like it,
you know what I mean? Like, that's fine. If I were to be like, yeah, I love music, but I only listen to jazz from the 60s, it'd be like, well, I mean, I'm sure you have a deep knowledge of it, and I think that I do respect that. I'm not that focused of a person. I don't think you are either, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
We're not focused people.
No.
But we like a lot, but we're passionate people.
Yeah.
So you just like a lot of different things, and that just has to be part of your personality.
Yeah.
So I can be a little bit flighty with things.
Yeah.
Of like, I like to switch things up. I like to change things, and that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to do a little bit. I'm just trying to have less of everything is the only thing.
Like, yeah,
just not
that.
Have so much. Now, I don't need to collect everything that I have. You know what I mean? I can just enjoy some of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And only try to do good things, and you know, try to take care of it for longer and wear it more, and or whatever it is that I'm into. Like,
yeah.
Same thing with guitars. Like I did this whole game I'm doing with guitars because I had a shitload at one point. And when I went to move, I'm like, this is too many. Like, what am I doing? Like, you know, I was playing
play
live
one
a little bit more, but you can only play one at a time. And realistically, I'm playing the same one over and over again. So why do I need 8 or 10 or whatever I had? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's like, you just got to like, I think you have to kind of do that, though. Like, that's part of it. Like, it's kind of we're right back where we were talking about. You got to experience it all so that you can pare down to what you actually like, and then also sometimes get yourself out of the, you know, out of the funk. Because I think, I mean, that was, I think the point of Perfect Days to a certain extent was understanding that there was sacrifice with this lifestyle, because it seems so pleasant and so calm, and I'm sure that that is part of it. You know, but you also have to understand that is an issue too at the same time. I mean, that is a complete control freak type. It's OCD behavior. You know what I mean? And I think using some of it, I think sometimes I've been looking for that in my life of like, I want to stop focusing on my surroundings or collecting or having to like be stressed because I have to get this or I have to get that, or I have to like change this out or clean this up or do, you know what I mean? The only way to do that for me is to like have less of it, so I'm not feeling like I have to reorganize it or reanalyze it all the time,
mm-hmm.
and then just calm my brain down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm doing it for. But I also don't think that that's like. I don't think you have to. I think to a certain if you take that to an extreme, it's also a problem because you're making sacrifices so that, you know what I mean, or denying yourself mm-hmm. certain things. And I think that this is a real checks and balances type of thing. You know what I mean, where you have to like decide what's falls into that category.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I don't know. Because, I mean, I think that was the whole point of the scene towards the end where it's like, oh, you realize he's made some pretty significant sacrifices to live this lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then it's like, are those worth it? Maybe. But you can kind of tell him in the end of the movie he's not sure. I mean,
yeah.
I think that's the dilemma of like, there's something that's so comfortable and familiar and that's calming and it helps you, your brain rest and be calm. And I think that's all that's good. But I also think that like, I was a little bit more in that lane before we had a kid because we just, you know, got into a routine and it was all good. But like I could tell we were like bored, you know what I mean? Like on a daily basis. And then the shakeup of a kid just like fucks your whole thing up.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? In a good way. You know what I mean? Because you find out you have so much more of a capacity for not only love, but patience and, you know, all these things that you didn't think you could do, suddenly you can do because you don't have an option. And I think that's good for you. So I don't think that like I'm going to be that guy from Perfect Days and I'm never going to like change. I think that if you did that, that is just as much of a negative in the ways that it's a positive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think the whole, if you use wabi-sabi instead as the thing of like, oh, there's just going to be a bunch of like, it's just...
I have
those elements, and maybe I'm always striving to like create new flows in my life to make things simpler and easier and let my brain not be stressed because I can't find something or I can't, you know what I mean? Like things like that. I think that's all positive. But knowing that it's going to get messed up and being open to it is good too. It's kind of like, hey, I have a lane with the movies I watch, but every, mm-hmm. but you know, maybe once a month I'm going to push myself on something that I hear people talking about, and maybe I like it or maybe I don't. But like, it's kind of like when people obsess over like not wanting to eat something they don't like. It's like, dude, you're not going to remember what that was tomorrow. So just, who cares?
Yeah.
Just eat the dumb thing and then move on. Who cares? Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be your last meal.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's, it's probably a checks and balances thing, but I definitely feel like the pulling it back a little bit and is a good takeaway from that movie, and like enjoying simple things,
enjoying the things that you have, mm-hmm. and then by having less other bullshit cluttering the brain, you can enjoy those with more intention.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that way about the plants we have in our house, my clothes to an extent.
I'm trying to live less of like more in the moment and not in the future. You know what I'm saying? Like, way of being like, you know, for example, like I was going through, I have like a big, like a toolbox. It's pretty big, full of all the like random, you know, everyone has this to a certain extent, but like chords and stuff like this from music stuff. And
I'm like,
I don't have any of that shit anymore. I'm not going to get it again. And I'm only saving it, assuming, well, I'll already have it if in the future I need it. And you're like, what is this life you're living that like maybe in the future you'll need something? It's like, then just get a new
thing. Then just get it.
You know, and you likely never will. And then it's just like less things for your brain to inventory.
I completely agree. We got our garage stuffed with shit. Also, in regards to this, more for the now, less for the future, my buddy John, shout out John, I love you, buddy, listens to the pod, my buddy from Cleveland.
What up, John?
He was texting me, and I shot him over one of the, I bought him a little Family Mart tee, you know, because he was hype on that. But he goes, you know, I've been doing this thing. I don't remember exactly how we got on the subject, but like, I feel like I'm always so worried about like, what's next? What am I working towards? What am I saving for? What's the next purchase? When's the next vacation? You know, this, that, and the other. You forget that like 5 years ago, you would have been so fucking stoked to be doing what you're doing now, mm-hmm. but that's being overshadowed by
whatever
the want and the yearning and the feeling of need. And that put into perspective, it's like, damn, Chase at 21 in Kent, Ohio would be gassed out of his mind to be here 10 years later in Boulder at Canoe Club for 7.5 fucking years-ish. Seven mm-hmm. and a half mm-hmm. years, yeah. 6.5, 7 years. Just, and that, I don't know, that just kind of, that general thought just kind of stuck with me since he said that. It's like,
it's a little bit of a, it's a barometer I use actually a lot of like, if I need to reassess life, and everyone does now and then, and you just go, would I be stoked if I told 16-year-old me that this is what I was going to do, or this is how I'd leading my life? And it's like always like, as long as I'm pretty close to saying mm-hmm. like tight, then I'm, that's good enough. You know what I mean?
I agree. Like, it's a good marker.
Because it's like, that's what you were hoping for. Like in that moment, that's what
towards,
you were hoping
right?
towards later on in life. Then what's the big deal?
Yeah. You made decisions to get to here. So are you stoked with it?
When I think about all the times when I felt like content, you know what I mean? In the past, like maybe 5 or 10 years, you know, it's hard. I have a little bit of a before Gia, after Gia sort of view of life now.
Totally.
You know what I mean? But if I really think about those handful of moments, they're really like, they aren't anything that I paid to have. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? They are rarely any sort of big trip I took, if I'm being honest with you. And if like, and maybe they were, there were moments inside of a trip or something like that, but usually they weren't, it wasn't, oh, we went to this fucking banging dinner where we dropped coin. And like, it's not that, it's never those. That never sticks with me. Those are just stories I tell other people. And you're only telling those other people because you want them to be impressed by it.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, if I think about our time in Japan, the most fun I had was when we were eating lunch outside of the, you know, by the river thing.
Yeah, like, this is really cool. I knew that's what you were
going to
say.
Because we took a moment to like just chill, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not be worried about what else we were going to do or what we were going to try to get accomplished. So why I think we travel well together, in the sense that I don't think we have any goals. So it makes it a lot more fun
to
be like, I don't know, we'll just do whatever happens that day.
Yeah.
Mill
around.
But I think about like, you know, I've gone to the park a million times with my daughter, different parks. We've explored every park that exists, because when you're a parent, you're like, I just need them to be entertained for a minute where I don't have to develop the entertainment. And like the times that were like fun were like the couple times we like sat in the grass and just like hung
checked
out,
it.
Like
yeah.
just didn't do anything. Like we weren't, there was no, and it's like, yeah, you don't pay for those moments or anything. Those only happen when you stop worrying about up front or behind. And,
yeah. No, I feel that.
I think that way of like, even like shows I've gone to and stuff, the best show, like the most fun I've had at concerts and stuff when I've gone alone, You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And mm-hmm. I just, it was like, oh, I wasn't expecting it to be good. And it was like this really transformative, really fun thing. And that you, most of the time I was there alone. And you know, same thing with movies. And like, not saying that's like, I'm only have fun when I'm alone. But I just mean like, it's times when you're like not too worried about anything else. You don't have to worry about the person you're with. Or you don't have to, it's like, it's stuff like that. It's like when, so what am I worried about? Like, oh man, I got to buy a whatever the hell. Well, who cares? That won't be a core memory. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's it matter?
Yeah, I feel that.
So yeah, it's, but I mean, I also, we're saying all this and this is like way easier than said than done.
So yeah, I was just going to say like, by no means am I
yeah.
this guy. It's just something that I'm thinking about and I'm trying to become more aware of.
Well, I think the more, at least for me personally, and this took therapy and stuff, but the more aware I am of the level of stress I allow myself to be under all the time, and usually it's from fixable things,
yeah.
You know, is it starts to, as you become more aware of it and as you desire the opposite more and more, I think that it gets harder in a different way, and that you're like, I didn't realize how many outside things I'm letting affect my mood and like the vibe and the, you know, everything. And it's like, oh man, there's so much that's affecting that all the time. And a lot of it I'm in control of and allowing it to happen. So you realize yeah. how much you're letting in on your own, like getting stressed about like, we'll have like on a Saturday, we'll be like, oh, we're going to go do this thing at some point in the day. And then I'll get stressed about when we're leaving. And you're like, what does it matter? Like, there's no yeah. time. Yeah. Like, it doesn't, or like, yeah. we got to be home by yeah. a certain time. It's like, for what?
For what? I agree. Yeah. I do that heavily. Yeah. yeah.
But I have to start, but it's just, but I don't think it's like a, oh, I've come to that realization and I know better now, so I should be better. It's like, I think you have to like train your brain and, yeah, over agreed. And over yeah. and over again yeah. to just like have the thought and then throw it out. You know what I mean? And that's like impossible.
Yeah.
So.
Yet again, in terms of having the thought thrown it out, yet again, Michan went to work this morning, so I had to lock up the house by myself. I had a thought, but I didn't turn around.
There you go.
I said, hey, I did my thing.
There's
I
one little win, and you do that enough times.
I just gotta trust yeah. myself. And
for me, Chase, I used to be really, really bad about this. Like, to I told you I broke a lock one time because I was turning the lock so much that I busted it and had to like replace it and shit.
Yeah.
So this would have been a while ago. Having a kid for me, like, it just fucked it up because it was like, oh, I can't. There's not enough brain space. You know what I mean? And then the further you get away from it, that seems silly to me now. Like, I wouldn't do that now. I mean, I still have thoughts, and I just now when I have the thought, like before I go to bed and I'm checking stoves, I go, all right, you looked at it. It's good. Walk away. You know what I mean? And if something happens, it's completely outside of your control and anything anyway. And what are you going to do?
Yeah, you know what I mean, so it's fair.
You just gotta look at it and walk away, and then you do that enough times, and then suddenly all of it starts to feel silly, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. years down the road.
Yeah, I feel that.
So it just takes forever, but I think that's what people, you know, they're like, you just got to become aware of it. It's like that's like the first step, and now you got to practice it over and over and over again to be better about all of that stuff. But you just got to let yourself off the hook, I think, is what we're getting.
Yeah, yeah, which is
pretty much our constant advice about what do I do about styling. I'm like, I don't know. Don't worry about it so much. Yeah. And you're gonna look way cooler.
Yeah,
you know,
it's true.
But I think that I liked that movie for a sense that it's an entertaining movie, but it also kind of, it brings up a lot of what I like slow filmmaking for, especially like a Wim Wenders style, is that it allows, there's a lot of space for you to be thinking while you're watching movies. I think that a lot of people, especially in modern movies, it's just bam, 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 bam. And there's so much dialogue and so much noise and so much mm-hmm. action and so many cuts. And you just watch the like editing now versus editing even 25 years ago, it's so much more rapid. I mean, the cuts are relentless.
Yeah.
And I like movies like that because it allows you breathing room to live in the space and to take it all in and to have thoughts and dialogue in your head while you're watching, because you're like interacting with yourself during mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting thing that type of movie allows you to do that not other, like others don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's fun in that way.
Absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Let's talk Oscars real quick before we move mm-hmm. into our next topic. Michan, we had it recorded on YouTube. Maybe you guys did that, right?
Maybe Abby's did. On the YouTube. I was watching. I was like, no, I'm going to watch it live. And then
yeah.
I had to like give G a bath. I sat in the hall and watched it so I could watch her and watch it. I really like watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit. I hate the results every year, but I like, but that's part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you go into that expecting it.
Let's start here. Number one, Jimmy Kimmel. Fire him and never let him come back. He is not funny. And it's like, I don't understand why the whole thing was so sincere. And then he would come pop up and try to like ruin the sincerity. It's like, oh, just be sincere or be funny, but do one or the other. You know what I mean? You can't do both. And why Mulaney is not doing it is psychotic.
See, I didn't see the Mulaney thing. Michan said, yeah.
Yeah, he did a little thing, and it was the only funny bit of the night.
Yeah.
He did the not BAFTAs. He did some other thing that was going around, and his monologue was so funny.
Yeah.
And he like gets the joking around with people, but then he hits himself first, and then hits them, and then hits himself again. And he likes movies, but he only talks about the stuff that he likes, which is good. He's not bullshitting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's sincere. He knows how to do the. He's got the cadence for it.
Yeah.
He should be doing it.
He is a pro in every regard, dude. He's so self-aware.
Because I was like, oh, you complain the whole time. It's like, you don't understand. I want it to be good so bad. Like, that's what I want. I want it to be good. I want the people who I want to win.
Yeah.
And I want somebody good to host it. Because when it's good, then it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's frustrating because it's like, it tends to go to a bunch of, in my opinion, lower movies. And the hosts are bad.
Yeah.
Almost every year.
Yeah.
But it's still... Like, so, sorry, what were you going to ask me about?
Nothing in particular. I caught probably the last quarter of it.
Mm.
And I actually would have said I don't like award shows and shit. But I think I do. I think I like seeing the celebrities. I watch a lot of TV and movies.
Yeah, it's the best.
So why, I don't know why I would think that. But there were multiple times I was like, oh my God, did you see her fucking Emily Blunt during the Oppenheimer thing? Her diamonds on her fucking necklace... You could see it from Ashtabula, from here.
Everyone,
you know what I mean?
Likes watching rich people
crazy.
Do things. And I like watching rich people be uncomfortable when they make jokes about them.
Yeah.
And I like that there's like a still alive element, which we almost never get anymore.
Yeah.
And I like live things because you like watching going, like, something might go wrong.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like I like all that stuff.
I will say, though, Al Pacino, is
so
he okay?
Funny. He isn't... What you should do is watch the John Mulaney thing about the Oscar. I don't know what he's doing. He's hosting some dinner. It's like a pre-dinner or something like that. And he just comes out and does the kind of like tools the crowd up before they do everything.
Yeah.
And it's a smaller event. And he talks about Al Pacino at the Oscars in the 90s when he was nominated for something, didn't think he'd win. And he took a bunch of Valium before. He's like quoted in like I think it's like Rolling Stone or something talking about this. And he's like, he took like 8 Valium. He couldn't stand up. He had to pee so bad. He was worried he was going to pee himself because he couldn't get up and leave because he was nominated. It's like this whole long funny thing. And he's just like he's been doing drugs for so long, Chase, that his mind went away in the 70s, I think.
Because, you know, he announced, again, this was for Oppenheimer. And he announced
fucked up the announcement, flubbed it.
Just... It's like
people were confused.
No, because I didn't realize he actually said who won until they kicked the music off.
Nobody did.
And me and Michelle were like, that's it. That's the last award. And that's how it. So I was like, is he okay?
Yeah.
And maybe he's just an old dude, I think.
He's been freaky forever, just to be clear. He's been this weird for so long.
Yeah.
And anyone that doesn't believe that, just watch any movie he made in the 90s.
Yeah.
He's freaky.
Yeah.
Or. He's been in a lot of Adam Sandler movies for a while for some reason. And I don't think I think he was playing all of the roles straight.
Just, we just got Al Pacino to do himself.
Why,
we'll
and,
him
well, you
different.
Sent him down there alone? Psychotic. I mean, and then Nolan is. I'm not a big Nolan head. Number one, I don't.
Did he do Transformers and stuff?
No, that's Michael Bay.
Oh, see,
no, Nolan
I get
did,
Christopher Nolan and Michael Bay mixed up because aren't they both known for big explosions?
No, he's done like Inception. This stuff you like Inception and
did he do
that?
Tenet?
Tenet,
okay,
and
sure.
You know, Dark Knight Rises.
Okay,
you know, all those,
yeah.
A
little bit of Michael Bay, definitely some Michael Mann.
I just also my problem is that is not his best movie by a long shot, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even put it high on the list.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it.
So if he was gonna win, you want to give Nolan something for being an iconic director. I can sort of get on board, but Interstellar was light years better than Oppenheimer. Light years.
Interstellar was fucking good.
So it's like, why is that the one he's getting? You know what I mean? I sometimes I feel like it's just like we got to give him something.
Is it just whatever's most recent too? You know what I mean?
I
like,
don't know. It, you know,
can't give awards multiple
I don't
times.
Know.
But
I thought that movie was entertaining, but I wouldn't put any. I wouldn't put it in any high category. I thought the performances were average at best.
Yeah,
and it was just a big display of, you know, overpaid actors.
Yeah.
So it wasn't for me personally. I really had a problem with most wins. I will say I filled out my like the ballot thing ahead of time, mm-hmm. and I put who I thought would win and who I wanted to win.
Yeah, sure.
And I was like, I would say I was 85% accurate. I only missed kind of the bigger ones because I just wanted other things so bad.
Yeah, I feel you.
I'm trying to think of fun moments of the night. I really like the Godzilla Minus One team one for, I think, special effects it was. And they're there with like Holden Godzillas and they're happy to be there. I love when people who clearly love movies win. I mean, like, because they're not there because they're paid a shitload of money. They're not. They're there because they truly love this. Yeah, it was like when Everything Everywhere All at Once was winning. Yeah. I think that was last year.
I think so.
I liked that because this is a lot of people that were underrepresented in their field for a long time and got the recognition. These were directors that clearly they're a little freaky, obviously, but they just love movies. You know what I mean? And it's like, oh, I just like when that all plays out in that way. I just like seeing people who love movies.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser, I think, is one of those guys that he won last year too.
And it's for
like,
the whale.
Yeah. And it's like, not my favorite movie of all time or anything, but it's like just good to see a guy who like really cares about movies and cinema winning. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I really like that a lot.
Yeah.
So it's things, people like Nolan who looked like he would eye roll the whole thing. It's like, oh, I'm too above. It's like, you're not above this, dude. You're not an auteur, in my opinion. You make blockbusters whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And I don't like when people seem like they're just there because they have to be.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I liked it.
Perfect Days nominated, not no winners, but
oh, it was nominated.
Yeah, but they looked great.
Cool.
Yoji'd out.
Yeah, that's actually so sick.
I'm trying to think of anything else that was. Divine winning for Holdovers. That was a huge win. She was incredible. She held that whole movie together, in my opinion. I'm trying to think of any other like big wins that I was like, that was solid. Barbie got snubbed, pretty bad.
I don't know anything about it. Margot Robbie, though, Michelle, again, we were talking. She's perfect. Look, she looks AI.
Yeah, she's like.
There's literally not like her teeth. She's perfect. She looks like an AI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the age of AI, if you saw a photo of Margot Robbie, you'd be like, she's not a real.
She also seems pleasant and is a very good actress.
It feels you know that way.
It doesn't feel like you should be able to get all those things.
Yeah,
but she's got them all. She's great. Look, I don't know personally. Look, nothing I want to. I have to watch the Independent Spirit Awards to see the things I want to win.
Mm-hmm,
win.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I don't necessarily think Barbie should have won a lot of stuff. But it seems crazy that considering the impact it had, and like culturally, it should have won some stuff. Maybe, but I don't know. This was a weird mix of movies this year, in my opinion. You had a real like. I don't know. Of all the great movies that came out this year, I think they were, most of the great ones were pretty underrepresented. And this was like kind of the ones that did okay at the box office. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
Maybe by this time next year, we'll be more versed in movies and we'll do a little bracket,
caught up, bro. I'm ready, dude.
I hadn't seen.
Other than some of the documentaries, I was on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so overall, it was fine.
Overall, enjoyed
there,
it.
There were still some good wins, I think, in there. So it's all good.
Yeah. I just like seeing their outfits. I'm not going to lie.
It's great. Nothing shocking this year.
No, I was just going to say, because I've formerly said I hate award shows because I don't like the crazy fucking outfits that aren't wearable. But everybody that I saw, again, I cut the last quarter of it, bro. So outside of John Cena being naked, which, by the way, we looked it up. My man is 46. He looks stellar. I don't give a fuck about John Cena,
incredibly
dude.
Incredibly entertaining as a person, too, to be honest with you. Like, when he's in movies, he gets a laugh. Now, he might not be, I'm not saying he's a brilliant comedian, but he knows how to use what he's got to get a laugh in a movie. And, and he's acceptable and entertaining in them. You know what I mean? In any sort of goofy movie he's in.
Yeah.
So I'm pro a Cena.
Dude looks stellar. Timbo, you and I could take steroids right now and hire trainers the next 3 years, and we still could never get to that physique. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think there's a genetics involved in any of this shit.
That's fair. That's fair.
Some people are just built to hold muscle better than
others. I was blown away. I was like, holy shit, bro. We looked up 46 years old. Crazy.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The Rock had on a nice V-neck jacket of sorts, and I just like seeing everybody's outfits. I think I'm trying to be less of a curmudgeon, too. It's just fun to see.
I mean, that's all it is. It's just a spectacle. It's just fun. I would say best dressed, as almost predicted. Celine Song looked great, who directed Past Lives. I really liked her outfit. I don't know. I wasn't blown away by really anybody's. There was someone I'm forgetting right now. I think Haley Steinfeld was there, and she had like a, I don't know why she was there, if I'm being honest with you, but I liked her. She had kind of like a weird thing that I'm not sure what it was because I never got clarity, but I think she looked good.
I don't know who that is.
So I'll put her in there. Guys were all dressed mid. We'll just give it to Perfect Days crew. They looked good.
You said they were all dressed in Yoji? I want to see a photo after this pod.
He did a movie about Yoji not too long ago.
Oh, yeah. So, Drew was talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's that connection. But they looked great.
Oh, I bet it was so cool.
Yeah, I guess that would be it.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling, I mean, the man puts on a fucking show, dude. What are you going to do, you know?
He's America's sweetheart. We all want to.
The thing is, he's another one like, it's like Margot Robbie's like the perfect, he's the perfect partner to her, and that like you don't want to like him, but he's extremely likable,
dude.
You
know he really is. He's very, very likeable. charismatic,
and he seems pretty real, you know. Yeah. And it's hard not to like him, you know.
Can you think off the top of a Rigo role that if you could assume that personality, you would be that?
Maybe what role?
Rigo. Ryan Gosling, Rago.
Oh, I thought you said Ragu roll. I'm like, what the hell is a Ragu roll?
Sounds good
roll?
To me, pal. For instance, Place Beyond the Pines. Him with the tattoos and the ripped up shirts.
Oh, you're saying what's
like,
his best role? Is that
no,
what you're
if you if you could assume that though in real life, like if you could look like that, I want to look like Ryan Gosling in the first half.
I mean, it's
of
hard to not choose Place Beyond the Pines.
He's so fucking cool.
I mean, he looks good in Blue Valentine. He's got some. He gets some cool fits off, especially for that era.
Yeah.
Let's see. Could have done without the ukulele songs he did. That's a little uncomfortable. But other than that, let's see. I'm trying to go back in the archives a little bit too. Not Notebook. I don't like any romantic clothing. Does that make sense to you? Whenever it's like,
well, I think of the Notebook. I think of like, I know this isn't right, but like, are they in like almost pilgrim
caps? And no, it's not that. It's like the I don't remember what era it is. Like 50s or 60s though.
Okay. Might as well be the same.
I don't know. I'm trying. I feel like there's roles we're missing. Half Nelson, he was just in like. He looked kind of cool there, to be honest with you. He looks.
Place Beyond the Pines is the answer.
Yeah. That might be my favorite movie of his, to be honest with you.
You know how
I really think it's great.
You know he has the face tattoos and the hand tattoos and this and that? So this is just something I read or was told years ago. He was able to choose all of that and choose like the placements and this and that. And he went to the director after doing a couple days of filming and said, hey, I think I went overboard. I think the face tattoos are a little too much. And the guy was like, well, we're going to rock them now. Yeah. And then so that they kept them for the whole movie.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
That's fun. Well, overall, it was a fun night at the Oscars.
Yeah,
and that's
all I'm looking
for. I love that it goes. If you watch red carpet coverage, this is how you really get into it. You started at 2:00.
Yeah, I saw there was
because
a bunch
from
pre-game.
2 to 4, it is just an old guy trying to hold it together on the floor. He does the worst interviews you've ever seen. He might as well not be even. It's like Florence Pugh, why is your hair blonde? And then she goes, "It's actually." And he goes, "Sounds good. Back to you, Scott." And it's like it's just it is like the most. It's like taking some guy who is like has no lineage. He doesn't care, and it's like they put him out there, and he's got X amount of time to do an interview, and he asks a question, does not listen to the response at all, and then throws back to camera constantly, and it's really funny to me because you watch celebrities be like, this guy is the guy like blowing me off.
Is this every year? How's this guy get this
role?
He's
there a lot, at least for the ABC, whenever it's on ABC, which it's mostly been. So he's there a lot. I don't know who he is. He's just funny. They throw him out there and he just fucks up interviews.
It'd be like me
long.
Doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's like if I was like, you've got 30 seconds, Chase, 30 seconds. And you go, okay, I got a Tom Hanks. Here he comes. Tom Hanks, tell me about what you're wearing. And he goes to answer. He's like, okay. It's just like he does not care at all what they have to say. He's not even looking at them when they answer. Yeah. So I like that.
It's fun.
Then you roll over into good red carpet coverage. Well, it used to be. Joan Rivers, with the passing of Joan Rivers, her and her daughter aren't being mean to celebrities anymore, so that's a bit of a bummer. It's just Vanessa Hudgens or whatever, who did look great, but...
That's Joan Rivers' daughter?
No. She's new. She does it now. She's always pregnant.
Okay. Vanessa Hudgens. Mm-hmm. She's always pregnant.
Yeah, she looked great. Her clothes were great. I always say you can't go wrong no matter who you are, no matter what you do. If you do like a cool... like full form-fitting dress with a little turtleneck on it that's made out of like a silky material. That looks chic every single time.
Yeah.
So she did a good job. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
But the interviews and stuff like that are bad. But they all seem to know her as well.
Uh-huh. There's a familiarity.
Trying to figure out if there was bad blood between her and Ariana Grande when they interviewed each other because they seemed uncomfortable together. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I liked it better when they put... Here's the thing. Let me build my perfect Oscars.
Yeah.
We do not have time to do this. But
just do it quickly.
I would have Emma Chamberlain just do the whole...
Why don't we have her interview people?
She should be she's done it before. She's done it at the Grammys, and it's funny, and clips go viral, and she's kind of awkward and weird. People kind of know her, but just enough adjacent to where it's not like, oh, we've got bad blood. Yeah. And she gets weird rapport with them and asks them funny questions. That's who we want running the red carpet thing.
Yeah.
In fact, kick everyone else out. Her. She just gets as many interviews as she wants.
Yeah.
And she gets to ask any question she wants. Like I said, John Mulaney does the hosting. Yeah. Musical guests are ones that I choose. They have nothing to do if they're in movies or not. I just choose them.
Yeah.
and then I get to choose who wins everything, and it's not a vote or anything like that. So that would be my perfect Oscars. I also said that I want to create my own movie theater, Brando Theaters, where I have there's the only thing that they serve is water. There's nothing else. You can buy a bottled water at the front. Then there's only one thing showing at a time, not multiples.
Uh-huh.
And it's all just nice Danish chairs that are lined up very far apart from each other. So if you come in as a date, you're not sitting with the person. There's no talking.
Yeah.
No cell phones. No nothing. You have to leave them at the front, like a Bad Bunny concert or whatever they do now. And you go in, you watch the movie in silence, you come out, you can't have anything. You're allowed one thing. You can sneak one item in, one not hot item in.
Yeah.
So if you can get it past the guards, good to go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you got whatever you want, but no trash on the floor. If you leave trash on the floor, you're charged double.
Yeah.
So it's very clean, very elegant. You are not with people. These are for people viewing movies alone, or that if you're in a couple, you want to view the movie alone. We only show one movie at a time, only bottled water. I think
no popcorn.
No nothing. It should not smell in there. It smells nice. No, we have nice, like...
We contract
Aesop. We got
Aesop
everywhere.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So it's Aesop. We get candles. It smells good in there. We've got that in the bathroom is nice.
Hell yeah.
Maybe one area outdoors that's like enclosed in case it's winter. If you want to smoke weed or something before you come in, that's fine.
Yeah.
Give them an area.
Yeah.
Give the stars an area. Maybe there's like a fun night at a premiere where there's a dress code and we serve only martinis.
Fun.
Nothing else. There's no other things. You get one martini and you have to wear a jacket or a dress.
Brando, this is fun.
It is fun. It's not fun. But it's fun in a different way.
It's fun because it's an event. It's a specialized directional event.
Mm-hmm.
Highly intentional.
Mm-hmm. You have to go there in a certain mindset. And I want people to not love the rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want them to fight against them a little bit, and then we turn and then we kick people out and stuff. So we make a display.
Yeah, I'm with it.
I want it to go viral. I get some like. Hire big guys from the gym to be the bouncers. Yeah. You just pick up those guys.
You hire that dude that wears the Cleveland gear and runs in jeans.
Yeah.
That's
who you want
running door. Because he's got no issue.
He's in like full, like, he's got like a bulletproof vest on and stuff.
Yeah.
And he goes in, and if you're eating Starburst, you drop a wrapper on the floor. Get out of there.
Get out of
you're
here.
You're done.
He's got.
You got. You didn't give. You didn't release the phone, and we find out. Oh, I'm tossing it in the street. You have to sign a document that says I'm allowed to smash it.
Yeah. No, there's just there's a bucket of water, like a dunk tank, but it's just where the cell phones go when they get confiscated.
Another fun thing that we could do is maybe like one, like every third Saturday, we do a thing where I just play my favorite YouTube video in a long string. You know what I mean? So it's just like a title
it's
fight
all
video,
Kyle Mooney and shit.
Yeah, a couple comedy bits. You know, just things I like.
Yeah.
So that'd be a fun night, too.
I love that, bro.
No, you don't get a choice into what it is. It's you have to be interested in what my things are, or you can
leave. Just trust Brando's taste.
Mm-hmm. It's like a discounted rate. So it can be a little
rowdy. $40 instead of $50.
Yeah.
Because this is not
cheap
theater.
You can bring one snack that will be, you don't have to hide it to that night.
Yeah.
All right, well, we didn't do anything. We didn't accomplish much on this one, but.
No, it's good. Introspective. We talked a little bit about celebrities and outfits, and it's about it. You'll hear from us again in 2 days.
If you budget aside, this is what we'll go out on because I'm supposed to be in a meeting right this second.
Oh,
but I'll do it anywhere. It's fine. It doesn't matter.
I know.
you're on the red carpet. You're going to a red carpet event, the Oscars. Mm-hmm. So it's a big one. Budget doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna? What would you wear? What and you can just. It doesn't have to be specific. I mean, you don't have to say brands, but. Do you know? Do you have like what you'd want to wear?
Mm-mm. I don't.
Here's what I would put you in.
Tell me.
Traditional. This is your traditional moment. Chunky but shiny black shoe.
Yep.
You need it, but it needs to be the shiny ones.
Yeah, I feel you.
Like
yeah.
you only wear this
the military
this.
Shine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that works for you. Dark navy tux.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Traditional. Totally normal. Nothing weird about this. This is like this is like a wool, a nice wool, but it's like a dark navy wool. And I'm trying to think of how to casual up the underneath. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just that's your flexes. It's just like a nice t-shirt.
Yeah, just a nice t-shirt.
So which really it's really
can gonna... I wear a cap? A nice hat?
Okay, hold on. Let's rethink this actually a little bit. I know what to do. I know what to do. We have to switch the shoes.
Yeah.
They can't be shiny. It's too much.
Okay.
So we'll go back to just regular black shoes.
Yeah.
Nice, but a nice one.
Nice
we'll get you something nice.
Yeah, we're not cheap.
Then you get navy, beautiful wool.
Beautiful wool suit.
We need like a, but it's a navy.
Yeah.
We do a just a regular, not dressy Oxford, white Oxford. And then we get you like a matching to the suit, Laura Piana hat or something.
Yeah, fuck yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
That would be
That's
you,
money.
But
yeah,
you're going to get some looks, but I like it for you.
Yeah. I like to wear a hat. What do you want to
do? Yeah. We'll let you do it. You get the hat pulled down.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. What would you do?
Everything just, I would just go, I think the safest thing you can do is just go normal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it would just be shiny black shoes, like I said, black, regular, not satin or anything like that. Just a black suit, black tie. You know what I mean? But I actually think that my normal move is just the wedding thing of just, I wear like a mock neck or turtleneck underneath.
Fuck yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I dig that.
Just straightforward.
Yeah.
You get like one piece of nice jewelry going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want a rose gold ring with diamonds on it.
Yeah. Although I will say in Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I love the Gucci suit he's wearing. The velvet one. It's nice.
I can't remember.
It's a tuxedo style. And it's a little like 70s looking with the crushed velvet. It's good.
I can't remember it.
It's good.
I can remember her in the Viz jacket.
Mm. It's a good
because you pointed it out.
It's
prior,
good. But. I love that. I love that suit.
I would
do that. If it was like if it looked kind of like fucked up, you know what I mean? Like in a vintage like crushed velvet tuxedo. I could go that way. That's cool. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, buddy.
All right.
It's been a pleasure.
Can you imagine us doing the pot? Like you know what? That's you know what? Customer service is going to do the interviews from now on. We do the interviews at the Oscars. We'll just go with loose mics.
Yeah.
And we'll just ask questions with me holding the Zoom recorder.
Yeah.
Just asking.
Paul Dano, I love you.
Paul Dano, you like Pringles or Doritos? Tell us, where are you from? You like hardcore?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like it. All right.
See you, buddy.